We're holding by the Mishnah on Nun Vov Omud Beis. So now, really, like I said yesterday, from here for the next 20-odd blot, we're going to be talking very little about dinim involving Yibum and Chalitza, which are the main subject of the Masechta, and instead, for the most part, we're going to be talking about other dinim having to do with marriage and the results of it. We're going to be talking about what kind of women a Kohen and a Yisrael are allowed to marry, and a good part of that discussion, parts of our perek and most of the next perek are going to be and parts even of the perek after that are going to be dealing with the dinim of under what circumstances are Kohen's household members able to eat truma. The Torah tells us in next week's parasha and parashas ever. The Kohen ki yikna nefesh kinyan kaspoi, that if he acquires someone with money, then they're allowed to eat. So that includes slaves, of course. It also includes his wife, because he's mekadesher with money. And even if he's not mekadesher with money, we know he can mekadesh with shtar and beer also. It's still considered kinyan kaspoi, and his children. But we're going to have all the various dinim about that are going to be in parts of our perek and most of the next perek and the beginning of the perek after that. And in between, we're going to be talking about the various dinim of who's allowed to marry who, including also we're going to eventually get further in a couple of blot to the dinim of Peruru. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, Almona l'kohen gadol, if a kohen gadol is marrying an almona, grusha v'chalutza l'kohen hedyot, or a kohen hedyot is marrying a divorced woman or a chalutza, where a divorcee is also to him daraisa, and a chalutza, we said according to most opinions, only derabanan. Mina erusin, so they've only done erusin lo yoichlu v'truma. Those women are not allowed to eat truma. Now Rashi gives two explanations, and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon Machshir, and Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon and Rav Shimon say that they are allowed to. Let's finish the mission, then we'll talk about what the scenario is that we're talking about. The Mishnah continues: Nisamlo and Nisgarshim and Nisurin, if they were widowed or divorced from Nisuin, meaning, in other words, so let's say this divorcee married a Kohen, which was also, and then the Kohen died or divorced her. So Mina Nisuin, Psulis, so then if that was after Nisuin, then they're possible because as soon as he had relations with her, then he made her a Chalala, and she's not allowed to eat Truma. Mina Erisin, Psheris, and if it was only from Erisin, then she would be kosher because they haven't had relations yet. Now Rashi gives two explanations. Rashi's first explanation, which he gives on the Mishnah and the beginning of the Gemara, is that we're talking about over here that this woman is a bas koyin. So now up until she's marrying somebody who's also to her, then she's allowed to eat truma from her father's household. As part of her father's household, a koyin, she's allowed to eat truma. That kind of thing is called in Gemara terminology truma de bein nasha. Now the Mishnah is telling us that if she's niskadish to her, if she's an almana and is niskadish to a kohen gadol, or as a grusha to a kohen hedyot, etc. So then the Tanakhama is saying that from the erusin already, she's not allowed to eat truma because it's called mishtameres labia psula. It's called that she's going to be, what the purpose of this kiddushin is, eventually they're going to get married, and when they get married, that bia is also, because as a kohen, he's also to marry and have relations with a grusha or a kohen gadol with an almana, etc. So all of that is Rashi's first explanation. Rashi says, though, he doesn't really like that explanation so much because it doesn't really fit with the continuation of the Gemara. So rather, Rashi's second explanation is that we're talking about that this woman is, it doesn't matter whether a bas koyin or a bas Yisrael, either way, what we're talking about is like this. The Mishnah tells us in Ksubas, now, we talked about yesterday that when a woman is an arusa, midah to a koyin, midah araisa, she would be able to eat truma even during the erusin. Midrabanan, we said that not. So we mentioned one reason that the Gemara gives, in Ksubas, namely that during the time of the erusin, when she's still living at home, she may take some truma and give it to her brothers or her parents to eat, to her siblings or her parents to eat, and therefore midrabanan, we don't want her to eat truma. Another point also that the Gemara mentions over there, which is going to come up in a side point in our sugya over here is that he may find something that makes him, that he wants to break the Kedushin. After all, he finds, for example, that she has a mum of which he was unaware, and therefore that kind of thing is called simpoin, and therefore he says it was Kedushin toast, and therefore the Kedushin never took effect in the first place, and then it comes out that she ate truma as a zara. Anyway, the point is, it actually says, the Mishnah over there first says that, now remember, normally in those days, they had about a year between Kedushin and Nisuin. During that time is when she'd be preparing everything for the wedding. So now the Mishnah says over there, Mishnah Rishona says there in Ksubas, that once 12 months have passed, even if they haven't done Nisuin yet, already since the husband is obligated to support her, then therefore she can already start eating Truma. That was Mishnah Rishona, and then it goes on to say over there that Mishnah Achrona was that not. So Rashi's second explanation, which he prefers, of our Mishnah is that we're talking about over here after those 12 months are over. So now the Tanakama, Rav Meir, is saying it's true that it was valid Kedushin, because Kedushin are Tofus with Chayve Lavin, not like Rav Akiva. And it's true, therefore, that she can be considered Kenyan Kaspoy, because he did use Kesef for the Kedushin, or whatever we used, one of the other forms of Kedushin, which is the equivalent of Kesef for our purposes. Nevertheless, so usually an Arusa at that point would be able to eat Truma Minatoda, and certainly after the 12 months. But now we're saying not, again, because Mishtameres the Bia Psula, because the purpose of this Kedushin eventually is for Bia, which is also Minatoda. So if it was for so then Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon would be saying, listen, we don't care about Mishtameres the Bia Psula. Right now they haven't yet had relations. She's not yet been Nischalel. So therefore the usual rule would apply that at this point she would be able to eat Truma. In other words, according to Rashi's second explanation, our Mishnah is not talking according to the halacha anymore, because the halacha is in the end that she can't eat Truma during the time of Eirusin regardless. Now, Tosfos in turn, and other Rishonim ask some questions on Rashi's second explanation, among others that the Gemara is going to start off with a Kavachomer to show that where Rav Meir proves his opinion, and that Kavachomer on the face of it requires us to be saying that we're talking about a Bas Koyin. It can't really be talking about a Bas Yisrael who's Niskadish to a Koyin. So therefore, for that and some other reasons, Tosfos says that actually we are talking about Tosfos prefers Rashi's first explanation, i.e. the fact that it doesn't fit completely with the Gemara. Tosfos brings a different girsa in the relevant parts of the Gemara, which therefore makes it fit better. So far we have as follows. So again, according to Rashi's first explanation, the flow of the Mishnah is like this. We're talking about Bas Koyin. So as a Bas Koyin, she would have been allowed to eat Truma, and even though she's an Almona or a Grusha, because as long as if her first husband was a Koyin, then she was allowed to eat Truma with him, and if not, then if he dies and she doesn't have any children, then she goes back to Truma de Bein Nasha. However, we're saying that if she's Niskadish, the Isser, to a Koyin Gadol or a Koyin Hedyot, then she wouldn't be able to eat Truma during the Erusin, and Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are allowing it, because the fact is they haven't yet had relations. If this new husband of hers, the Kohen Gadol or Kohen Hadiot, dies or divorces her, but it was after the Nisuin, then she became a Chalala, because as soon as they had relations, she became a Chalala, therefore she can't go back to eating Truma de Bein Nasha, but if it was from Erosin, then it's kosher, then she's kosher, because they haven't yet had relations. And according to Rashi's second explanation, we're talking about that to begin with, as a Bat Yisrael, she wasn't allowed to eat Truma. However, now, having been Niskadish to a Kohen, Kohen Gadol, or Kohen Hedyot, Rav Meir is going to say that she can't, because the fact is it's Kedushin that are an Aveira. And Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon are allowing it, because the fact is they haven't had relations yet. They don't care about Mishtameres Leviya Psula. And the fact is she is engaged to a Koyin, she is Niskadish to a Koyin, and according to Mishnah Rishona, during the Kedushin time, during the Erusin time, after a certain point at least, she's allowed to eat Truma, and so it is now over here also. And then the Mishnah would continue that if this woman was widowed or divorced from Nisuin, then again, same thing, because she's a Grusha or an Almana, and they had relations with her, it made her a Chalala, and therefore she's also to eat Truma anymore. But if it was mina erusin, then she'd be kshera because she'd be kosher to marry. She'd be kshera to marry a kohen in the future because they haven't actually had relations and she hasn't yet become a halal. Okay, so that's the Mishnah according to Rashi's two explanations. So the Gemara starts off Tanya Omer Rav Meir Kavachomer. So Rav Meir says I can show that this woman is not allowed to eat truma during the time of the erusin by a kavachomer. Uma kiddushin reshus ein ma'achilin, madach kiddushin which are allowed. A Yisrael who is makadosh a bas koyin, there's no avera involved. Ein ma'achilin, and at that point the woman is not allowed to eat truma anymore because so later on when we go further in the next perek further into the details of who's allowed and not allowed to eat truma, we say as soon as this bas koyin is niskadosh to Yisrael, then she loses the opportunity to eat truma de bein nasha, truma from her father's household. So madach in that case that she can't eat truma kedushi avera like kol shekin. How much more so where it's a with kiddushin that are an avera, because he as a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. According to Rashi's second explanation, then the kavachomer is that we're talking whether it's a bas yisrael or a bas kohen. So madach, if it's a bas yisrael being engaged to a miskadish to a bas yisrael to a ben yisrael, then she's not allowed to eat truma. How much more so here with kiddush avera? One of the problems that Tosfos has with Rashi is what kind of a kavachomer is that? Of course, a bas yisrael who's niskadish to yisrael is not allowed to eat truma. There's no side of kahuna even over there to even say that that she should be able to eat truma. So how is that? The basis for a kavachomer? Anyway, so that's Reb Meir's argument. Omru loy, so Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, who were saying argue with him, they say loy, that's not a valid proof. You know what? It's true as far as kedusha reshus. The reason is shekain ein loy lahachil b'makom achar, because he's not able to give his wife truma in another place. In other words, even if they get married, then they're not allowed to, because at that point she becomes a chalola. Kedusha Rishus, rather, we're talking about not that she becomes a halala, but just because her husband is a Yisrael, and therefore he's not able to. Toima b'kedusha Aveira, shekin yesh lo lahachil b'makam achar. But after all, these kedusha Aveira, after all, when she's roy to him, he would have been able to at the time of the kedushin, because again, during the time of the kedushin, according to Mishnah Rishona, she's allowed to eat. So therefore, we can say that even now, even though the kedushin are an aveda, nevertheless, it's still mutter. So that's the machlokes Reb Elazar and that's the machlokes Reb Meir and Reb Elazar Reb Shimon, whether we accept whether this kavachomer works or not. So the Gemara says, Omer Reb Elazar, Omer Reb Yoshia, Ptsua Daka Koyin, Shekiddush Bas Yisrael. Suppose now that you have a Koyin who's a Ptsua Daka. We're going to talk about in greater detail later on at the beginning of the eighth parak of Amar Sechta and the Ayins. We're going to be dealing with extensively the din of Ptsua Daka. What exactly is the definition? We're going to go in some detail into the anatomy of it. The point is, we're talking about a person whose genitals have been injured in such a way that makes him infertile, and the Torah tells us he's not allowed to marry a Bat Yisrael. Lo yovo Ptsua Daka, Krustropa Bakalashe. So now, suppose that a Kohen has this condition. So he can marry a Giyoris. He can marry a Giyoris in particular. He can marry a Giyoris, and he can marry certain other Psulim as well, because that's what we're going to discuss in the Gemara later. He doesn't have the full Kedushas Kohol. He doesn't have the full Kedusha of the congregation of the Jewish people, because the Torah tells us Lo Yovah the Kal Hashem. So even though he's a Kohen, he's still allowed to. So now he's a Kohen, he's a Ptsua Daka, Shekiddush Bas Yisrael, and he was Mekadosh, a regular Jewish woman. Where again, the problem is that if they end up getting married and having relations, then he's passeling her, because that Bia is awesome in Atorah.
Bonu l'machloikas Reb Meir v'Reb Elazar. So says Reb Elazar the Amora that we're coming now to the machloikas of Reb Meir and Reb Elazar with the Tana, namely during the time of the kedushin, can she eat truma? So again, according to Rashi's first explanation, if she's a bas koyin, can she eat truma to be nosha during the time of the kedushin? And according to the second explanation, regardless, he being a koyin, she's arusa, she's mekudeshes to a koyin during that time. According to Mishnah and Shona, would she be able to eat truma? So the Reb Meir d'amar mishtameres to be a psula d'araisa lo ocha. Well, according to Reb Meir, who says that whenever she's being saved, whenever she's being reserved for a bia, which is posel d'araisa, then she's not able to eat truma. Well, honami lo ocha. In this case, the same thing would apply. When he marries her and has relations with her, that is a bia psula d'araisa, as the Torah says, lo yovei tzuadaka b'kal Hashem. Whereas according to them, who say that even though it's a bia psula daraisa, until the bia actually takes place, she's allowed to eat truma, honami ocha. Then also in this case, she'd be able to eat because during the time of kedushin, she is at least kinyan kasboi. And therefore, so fine, when they have relations, then he's making her halala. Now she won't be able to eat truma in the future. And now if he dies, then she won't be able to marry a kohen. But until that point, Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon are saying she's not a halala. The fact that the mishtameres, the bia psula, they don't care about. Therefore, she'd be able to eat truma. However, the Gemara says, Mimai, who says that understanding is correct? Maybe, in fact, Reb Meir and Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon would not, in fact, be arguing in this case. Dilma ad kan la ka'ami Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon hasam. You know why when Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon maybe are only saying in the case of our Mishnah, only because there is a different kind of woman who he would be able to give truma. In other words, fine, he can't marry this woman because she's a grusha, but he could perfectly well marry another woman, and he, being a kohen, would be able to have that she'd be able to eat truma. In other words, according to Rashi's first explanation, once they get married, no problem. It's a valid marriage, and she's able to eat truma. And according to the second explanation, even during the time of the Erusin, according to Mishnah Rishona, she'd be able to eat truma because there's no bia psula that she's looking forward to. But over here, there's no. Over here, he can't be machel mokamacher because there's on the face of it, there's no woman who is mutter to him. B'chitema. Now you're going to answer. What do you mean? There's no woman who is mutter to him. Hochanami yeshle lahachel bevas gerim. You could answer. He is allowed to marry a daughter of gerim. And because when the Torah says lo yovei. Now the question is, does Kahal Hashem include Gerim? So the Gemara discusses this in some detail back and forth in Kiddushin, in the last parak. If we take the view that Kahal Gerim is not considered Kahal Hashem, so in other words, therefore, anybody of whom the Torah says, Lo Yovah B'Kahal Hashem, is allowed to marry a Geirus, well, if we take that view, then that means this Kohen Tzuadaka is allowed to marry a Geirus, even though normally as a Kohen, he'd be also to. But in this case, being that he's a Ptsua Daka and there's no other alternative, then he's allowed to. So we would say in that case that you do have Ma Yeshle Lahachal B'Makamacher, namely he could be marrying a Gyuris and then feed her Truma. Is that in fact the case, the Gemara says? After all, we have Rabbi Yochanan asked that very question from Rabbi Oshia a little further down on the Amud, and Rabbi Oshia didn't answer him. So it's not so simple that the Kohen Tzuadaka is able to marry the Yeris. So maybe in fact we should say he can't, and that means, in other words, there's no woman who's mutter to him. Therefore, Reb Meir's Kavah Chomer would still be valid. Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon are disagreeing with Reb Meir's Kavah Chomer on the grounds that this Kohen, there are other women he'd be able to marry and everything would be good. But here, if we say that he can't marry anybody else, because we would say a born Jewish woman he's not allowed to because Kal Hashem, a Geirus, let's say, he's also not allowed to on the assumption that Geirim are also considered part of Kal Hashem. Well, in that case, then there's nobody that he could conceivably give truma to as his wife, and therefore the mayor's kavah chomer would still be valid. So, uh, Tosfos points out that actually further on, when we deal with Rabbi Yochanan's question, we're going to end up saying that Rabbi Yochanan is asking according to a different opinion, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But here we're dealing according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. So Tosfos says later on, when the Gemara discusses who Rabbi Yochanan's question is according to, when the Gemara says that it's according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that's the stum of the Gemara telling us that. Rabbi Oshia himself, we're going to say, didn't end up answering the question, and therefore, at least according to Rabbi Oshia, the question would be valid according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon as well. So according to him then, so not necessarily all Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon saying that a Kohen Suadaka is allowed to marry anybody. So let's try to answer the question. So the Gemara says, Itmar. So we have a discussion of Amiroyim on the subject. Usually when we start out with Itmar, usually it's kind of the beginning of a discussion. We have given a certain case, then Amiroyim disagree about it. Here Rashi says, unusually, we have the Itmar is meant to answer the question that we just had. We just had a question whether a Kohen can marry a Bas Gerim or not. So now we're going to try to answer that on the basis of a Machloikas Abaya and Rava. So Abaya Omer, Abaya says that there is a case, there is in fact a case where a Kohen Suadaka is able to give his wife Truma. Even if we say that a Kohen Suadaka is not allowed to marry a Geyuris, nevertheless, there can be Hoyulam Achila below Yadah. Because what can happen, suppose that he was married to this woman beforehand, a regular Bas Yisrael, because as a Kohen, he can only marry a Bas Yisrael, not a Geyuris. Now, sometime during the marriage, he became a Suadaka. As long as he doesn't have relations with her after that, after he became a Tzuadaka, then there's no problem. Because, in fact, we're going to learn that. We're going to learn that in the next Perek. So if he has relations with her, then yeah, that's an Isser. That's an Isser Lab. Therefore, he makes her a Halala. And from then on, she can't eat Truma. But if they don't have relations ever since he became a Tzuadaka, then she's still allowed to eat Truma. Therefore, Abaya says the answer is yes. There is, in fact, a case where a Kohen Tzuadaka is able to give his wife Truma. Therefore, even if we were to say that he can't marry a Geyuris, nevertheless, you can still say that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon would still say they have their proof against Rabbi Meir's Kavachomer. Namely, Rabbi Meir is making a Kavachomer between Kedushi Rishus and Kedushi Avera, but they're answering him that there's a difference between Eim Loi Lahachel B'Makom Acher versus Yesh Loi Lahachel B'Makom Acher. In other words, they say whenever you have that there is a possibility of this Kohen having a wife to whom he could feed Truma because there's no Isser, then even in a case where the Kedushin would be Isser, then it would be allowed. Well, says Abaya, we have exactly that. We have a Tzuadaka is able to be married to a Bat Yisrael, they just aren't having relations, and she's still able to eat Truma. Therefore, sort of Elazar and Rav Shimon's refutation of the Kavachomer still holds true. Therefore, we can say therefore, yes, the answer could be that suppose now instead of being married to her from before, he's only being Makadish her, then Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon might well still say, as the Gemara assumed to start out, that as Rabbi Elazar, Omer Rabbi Oshia had said, that in fact they would say she could eat Truma until they actually do Nisuin and have Bia. Because once they do Bia, she'll be a Chalala, but until then not. You're going to say that maybe according to Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, he's not allowed to marry a Bas Gerim at all. Fine, but he is allowed to be married to a Bas Yisrael and just not have relations with her. So therefore, Abaye says that's enough of a basis to say that by the same token, he's Makadish a woman and they haven't yet had relations, that also she would be able to eat him. Rava says a different point. You forget about that. You also have a Hoyol Machil Ba'avod of Shekhois of Aknanim. Rava says, listen, you also have a Kohen Tzuadaka is able to have Avodim Knanim and Shfochus Knanius, and they're allowed to eat Truma, because obviously his status as a Tzuadaka doesn't affect that. So therefore, again, you have where he's able to be Machil. So therefore, once you say that, then again, we can say that he can be Machil, a woman that he's Makadish, until they do the Nisuin and he has relations. So the Gemara says, now why do they, so the point is both of them agree that there is somebody to whom he can be machil. They're just arguing who exactly that is. Now, Abaya lo omaka Rava. Abaya doesn't want to explain it the way Rava does. That we're talking about That we're talking about avodim and shvachas, because kinyan de ishus, the kinyan de ishus yalfinan, because he says you, if you're going to learn, if Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon are going to learn a kinyan from a kinyan, they're going to learn a kinyan that involves marriage from another one that involves marriage, where he's mekadesh her versus where he was married to her before and then became a psua daka and stopped having relations with her. Kinyan de ishus, the kinyan de avodim. Abaye is going to say you can't learn from Avodim, which is a different kind of Kenyan. It's true, they're all included in the Torah's general statement of Kenyan Kaspoy, but nevertheless, come on, you got to make a distinction between a Kenyan of his wife versus a Kenyan of his Eved. So therefore, he doesn't like Rava's explanation that we can say it on the basis of his Eved and Shivcha Knanis. But Rava, like Omadat Kambaya, Rava doesn't like Abaye's explanation. Shiny Hossam, Shakar Ochla. You know why? You know why she's allowed to eat Truma, his wife, after he becomes a Patsua Daka, because to begin with, she was able to eat Truma. The fact that he became a Patsua Daka shouldn't take that away until, unless they have relations, which makes her a Chalala. So that's not a solid proof, just because she was able to eat Truma until now and continues to be able to be, that's not a solid proof where we was Makadish a woman, where now we wanted to be able to start eating Truma. Therefore, Rava says the fact that he can now buy an Eved Knani or Shivcha Knanis and they're allowed to start eating Truma is a stronger proof. And Abaya would answer to that. Shekhar Ochol Ayamrinan. He would say, as we learned before, as we learned yesterday, that we don't say because she ate before, therefore that's a basis for her to continue eating Truma in the future. De'ilai Temahachi, after all, if you're not going to say that, Bas Yisrael shenisses the koyin. Take a regular case where Bas Yisrael is married to a koyin, umis, and he dies. Teichol. Would you say she'd be able to continue eating truma shekvar achol because she was able to while she was married? Of course not. So we see that once he dies, then that goes away. The same way, there's no reason to say just because she ate truma before he became a psur daka, now therefore that's a basis for saying that she should be fine. She is allowed to afterwards, but to use that as a basis to say that from there we can prove to a case where he's mekadesh a new woman, then not. Vidrova, so Rava answer to that. Hasam poka kinyane. The difference is because then his kinyan goes away. As soon as he dies, she's not kinyan kaspa anymore. But over here, the kinyan has not gone away. She still is nikna to him. All that is that if they have relations, she's going to become a halala. Good, as long as they don't have relations, then the kinyan that existed before when he was mekadesher still continues to exist. And therefore, that's a valid basis for saying that. So Rava says, so that's not a valid basis for saying that a new kiddushin, where she wasn't able to eat truma before, should be valid. All we can say is that, on the other hand, we see that he's able to buy a new Eved Knani, or a new Shivcha Knanis, and therefore we can draw an analogy from that to a new kiddushin. Okay. The Gemara says, Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Bo'amenei Reb Yochanan and Reb Oshi, a Ptsua Daka Koyin Shinosa Basgerim, we ask that if a Koyin of Ptsua Daka, marries a Basgerim, Maush Yachlene Betruma, is he allowed to give her Truma to eat? The question is basically, so support of the question is he allowed to marry a Basgerim? And the Gemara says, Ishtik, Rav Oshia was quiet and he didn't answer him anything. Now, does that mean because he doesn't know the answer, or does it mean because he's ignoring him? L'soif, Oster, Gavra, Rabba, Achrina, later on, another great person came, Obamine Milsa Achrita, and he asked Rav Oshia a different question, Uposhatlei, and Rav Oshia answered him, Umanu, Resh Lakish, who was that other person, is Resh Lakish. Omalei Rav Yehuda Nesia Rav Oshia. So Rav Yehuda Nesia asked Rav Oshia, why did you not answer Rav Yechanan? Otter Rav Yechanan Lav Gavre Rabahu. Is Rav Yechanan not a great person? This is not Rav Yehuda Hanasi, but rather Rav Yehuda Nesia. So there's more than one Rav Yehuda Nesia. There is a Rav Yehuda Nesia who was a grandson of Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Then there's another Rav Yehuda Nesia who was a grandson of his. The first one was still a top caliber. The first one was still among the top caliber of Chachamim. The second one was less so. He was more of a Talmud of Rav Yechanan and Resh Lakish. For Pashtus, we have to be talking about the first one over here, because otherwise, how can he be asking, isn't Rav Yechanan a Gavra Rabba? Of course he is. He's his own Rebbe. So Bepashtus, we're talking about over here, about the first Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, who is a grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So he's a chaver, and maybe even a rebbe, of Rabbi Oshia. So he's asking, Rabbi Oshia, why do you ignore Rabbi Yechanan? So he says, to Rabbi Yechanan, lav gaver rabbu, isn't Rabbi Yechanan himself a great person? Why did you ignore his question? Tosfos, by the way, points out that we see from this that in the famous story in Bava Metzia, where Rabbi Yechanan made Rish Lakish a Baal Teshuva and started teaching him Torah, we see that in fact Rish Lakish had been great in Torah before that, because apparently this story happens before Rabbi Yechanan started teaching him Torah. Otherwise, of course, Rabbi Yechanan is a Gabra Rabba. There's no reason even for anybody to ask about it. So therefore, it must be that Rish Lakish had been a Gabra Rabba, had been a great person in Torah. Then he left and went off to a life of banditry and whatever. And later on, he did Shuvah and Rabbi Yechanan started teaching him Torah again. So now this story, because this story over here, in other words, would be taking place before Rish Lakish went off the derech. In other words, when Rabbi Yechanan himself is not yet so great, is not yet considered so great, that conceivably Rabbi Oshia could be thinking that Rabbi Yechanan is not that great, and therefore it's not so important to answer. That's the question. Why is he answering Rish Lakish and not answering Rabbi Yechanan? Amalei, so Rabbi Oshia answers, it's not because I ignored him. On the contrary, because Rabbi Yechanan asked me a good question, one to which I don't have a way of answering it. Because we have to ask according to which opinion is Rabbi Yechanan asking the question. So now Rashi brings two explanations. First of all, Rashi's first explanation is that Rabbi Yechanan, not Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Oshia just says there's no answer to this question. Now the Gemara is going to try to figure out, the stomach of the Gemara is going to try to figure out, well, according to which opinion is Rabbi Yechanan asking the question, such that Rabbi Oshia concludes that it can't be answered. Then Rashi brings a second explanation that no, on the contrary, Rabbi Oshia is saying there's no answer to it. In other words, there's no need to answer it, because whether you're asking it according to the Yehuda or whether you're asking it according to whoever, then we can answer it easily. However, Rashi says that can't be. We said before, first of all, that Rabbi Oshia didn't answer the question. So if Rabbi Oshia is saying the next few lines of the Gemara, then he does answer the question. So therefore, it must be the stomach of the Gemara is figuring out the answer to the question, but Rabbi Oshia himself didn't know. So for that and a couple of other reasons, so therefore Rashi says the first explanation is the correct one. Rabbi Oshia did not in fact know the answer. Now the Gemara is going to try to figure out, why did Rabbi Oshia not know it? We have to figure out according to which opinion is Rabbi Yochanan asking this question. Now we have three different opinions on the subject of whether a kohen, a regular kohen, is allowed to marry a bas gerim. We have Rabbi Yehuda says that not. Well, we're talking over here about a bas gerim, to be exact. We're not talking about a geuris herself. We're talking about a woman whose both her parents were gerim. Rabbi Yehuda says that he's not allowed to marry her. Rabbi Yossi says that he is. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says it depends whether the mother was Jewish or not. He doesn't care who the father, even if the father was a ger, but he cares about the mother. So now let's go through the possibilities and see according to which one is Rabbi Yochanan asking this question, such that we're saying Rabbi Oshia said, I have no way of answering the question. So the Gemara is asking, according to whom is Rabbi Yochanan asking this question? If he's asking according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the answer would be that either way, she's not allowed to. Bein b'kdushase koi, bein la b'kdushase koi. Whether we say that a koyan who's a psur daka retains his status as a koyan, retains his kedusha of a koyan. In other words, if we say he retains the status of kedusha as a koyan, then we would say he's not allowed to marry a bas gerim, and if not, then he would. But bein b'kdushase koi, bein la b'kdushase koi, loy ochla. Then the answer would be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Either way, whether he has the kedusha of a koyan or whether he doesn't, either way, his wife wouldn't be able to eat truma. Da'omamar bas gerim zocher k'bas kolol zocher, because Rabbi Yehuda says that the daughter of a male ger is also to a kohen, just like the daughter of a male zohar, of a male cholol, meaning the same way as if a cholol marries a Jewish woman, then their children are considered cholol. Now, you have an opinion in Kiddushin that says not, but the halacha is not like that opinion. The halacha is the children of a cholol are considered chololim. The males are chololim atzoif kolodotus. The women eventually, the woman herself is a cholola, but if she marries a ben Yisrael, then she's allowed, then her children are allowed to marry koyanim. But the male cholol, his children are also. Rabbi Yehuda says the same way, the children of a male ger are also to marry koyanim. So therefore, so you wouldn't be able to marry a geyurus, or the daughter, or not a geyurus, but the daughter of a ger. And if Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a kohen tzuadaka does not retain his kedusha of a kohen, then loy achla, he's also not allowed to give his wife truma to eat, because he's not allowed to marry her either. Dahaminen kal gerim ikri kohol, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that gerim are considered part of kal Hashem, and therefore tzuadaka is not allowed to marry a ger either. So regardless, either way, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not going to be allowed to marry this woman. Therefore, if we ask the question according to Rabbi Yehuda, then the obvious answer is she can't eat truma. The Eila Rabbi Yossi, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan's question was according to Rabbi Yossi, then the answer is on the contrary. Bein b'kdushos ekoi, bein la b'kdushos ekoi ochla. Then, regardless whether he still retains his kedusha of koyan or not, either way, his wife would be able to eat truma, because if he still has his kedusha of a kohen and is also to marry a geyoris, then he would still be able to marry the daughter of a ger, and she would be able to eat truma. Daha Omar, because Rabbi Yossi says in that sugya and kedushin, ach gerish nasa geyoris bitte ksher lekohona, because he says even if both parents are gerim, the daughter is kosher to marry a kohen. So therefore, he would say that a kohen is in fact allowed to marry a bas ger. And if you say that he doesn't retain his kedusha of a kohen anymore, then also he's allowed to get married to this woman, and she's allowed to eat truma. Because Rabbi Yossi holds it. So a daka is allowed to marry a geyoris. He holds that gerim are not considered part of kal Hashem. So far, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the obvious answer would be that this Kohen Tzuadaka's wife, who's a Gyoris, cannot eat Truma, because either way, whether he's still considered a Kohen or not, then, or not a Gyoris, but a Baskerim, again, we're saying. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the answer would be regardless, whether we say he's still considered a Kohen or not, he'd be also to marry her, therefore he's also to give her truma. According to Rabbi Yossi, regardless, the answer would be that he would. So who is Rabbi Yochanan's question according to, such that Rabbi Oshi is saying, I don't have an answer. So rather, the answer is that Rabbi Yochanan's question is rather according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who's a third opinion on the subject of which woman is a Kohen allowed to marry. We learn in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Isha bas gerim, loiti nasi lekohona. He says a woman who is the daughter of gerim, so both her parents were gerim, loiti nasi lekohona, she should not marry a Kohen, ad shetehi ima miYisrael, unless her mother is Jewish. So if her mother is a born Jew, even though her father is a ger, then she's allowed to marry a Kohen, but not if both her parents are gerim. Incidentally, the halacha in this is that we're saying that she shouldn't marry a kohen lahatchila, but if she did, because it's not clear whether the halacha is like him or like Rabbi Yossi, then therefore b'dieved we don't force them to get divorced. Anyway, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is saying if her mother is a born Jew, then she's allowed to marry a kohen even lahatchila, but if both her parents are gerim, then not. So we see, in other words, that he's allowing even if her father is a ger. So now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan's question, therefore, is as follows. V'hachi kamibayle, kashrus mitois v'ba, do we say that when her mother is Jewish, so now kashrus has been added to her, meaning that now the fact that her mother is Jewish makes her roy to marry a kohen, but not kedusha, meaning, in other words, she's still not considered part of kohol, so therefore she would be allowed to marry a tzuadaka. In other words, if we say that now she's been upgraded regarding a Kohen, but not regarding a Ptua Daka, then it would mean she's allowed to marry a Kohen Ptua Daka. Because the fact that he's a Kohen doesn't matter because she's been upgraded. Her kashrus has been upgraded as far as Kohona because her mother is Jewish. On the other hand, we would still say because her father is a Ger, she's still considered part of Kahal Gerim, which is not called Kohol, and therefore Ptua Daka can marry her. So then, either way, the answer would be that she's able to eat Truma. Because as a Kohen, he's allowed to marry, and as a Ptua Daka, he's also allowed to marry her. So that would be one way of looking at it. But Ochla, therefore, she's able to eat Truma. Or Dilma, or maybe the other way around, Kedusha mitos baba v'loy Ochla. Maybe on the contrary, we would say that Kedusha has been added to her, and therefore, so now she's considered part of Kahal. The fact that her mother is Jewish upgrades her to being part of Kahal Hashem. So therefore, that would mean that she'd be usher to marry a Ptua Daka. So that would be Rabbi Yochanan's question, and that's what, according to that, is why Rabbi Oshi is saying I don't have an answer to that. Now Tosfos Yeshanim, it says Tosfos Yeshanim says I don't really like that first explanation of Rashi because normally throughout Shas, in fact, earlier in our Masechta, we use the word kedusha to refer to the restrictions of Kohanim, and we use the word kashrus to refer to being allowed to marry into the Jewish people collectively. So on that basis, Tosfos Yeshanim says I don't really like Rashi's first explanation because it requires us to switch the definitions of kedusha. It requires us to switch the usual definitions of kedusha and kashrus. So I saw an explanation of a long bit of a pilpul that discusses the question. Maybe Rashi would say that the Yisurim of Kohuna sit on top of the ones of Yisrael, and therefore in that sense we can use the word kashrus to refer to the restrictions of a Kohen because those sit on top of the dinim of the kedusha of Yisrael, etc. A whole long thing. Anyway, Rashi's second explanation is, which he brings from his Rebbe, is that the question is, again, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, the question is, when a Ger and Geyoris get married, so what do we say? Of course, so do we say that, the question is, when the mother is Jewish, do we say that Kashrus has been upgraded and now they're considered Kahal? But if both her parents are Gerim, then she's not considered part of Kahal. Or do we say that Kedusha has been added? The fact that if her parents are both Gerim means she doesn't have Kedusha, but maybe she has Kashrus and therefore is part of Kahal. So in other words, the question would come down to: would we say that the daughter of a Ger and Geyoris would be considered part of Kohol, or would she not be considered part of Kohol? If she's part of Kohol, then she's also true. So a doctor, if not, then not. Anyway, so that would be the question. So that was why Rav Oshia was saying, I don't have an answer because we don't know whether Kedusha or whether what was added was Kedusha or whether what was added was Kashrus. So Toshma, let's try to bring a proof. When Rav Acha Bachanina came from the south of Eretz Yisrael, also the icy masnisa b'yodi, he came from Eretz Yisrael and he brought along with him a braisa, which says, "Minayim l'ptsua daka koyin shenasa bas gerim shema achila b'truma." How do we know that if a koyin of ptsua daka marries a bas gerim, a woman who's a daughter of gerim, shema achila b'truma, or even a geyoris herself for that matter, he is allowed to have her eat truma. Shenema, because the pasuk says, "V'koyin ki yikin nefesh kinyan kasper v'goyim yoyi chaboy." The pasuk says that when a koyin acquires someone with money, then they're able to eat truma. And in this case, he acquired her with kedushin. So now we have to say again, who would this braisa be like? Laman, who would it be like? Ilema l'Rabbi Yehuda, could it be according to Rabbi Yehuda? Can't be. Ha'ama bein b'tushase koi, bein lad b'tushase koi loyachla. Rabbi Yehuda, we just says that regardless, he's not allowed to marry her. If he's still considered a koyan, then he's also to marry a bas gerim. And if he's not considered a koyan anymore, then he's still also, then as a ptsua daka, he's also to marry from Kalashem, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that gerim are included in Kalashem. The either of Yossi Lomalikra, if the Braisa was according to Rabbi Yossi, you wouldn't need a pasuk to tell us. He says that regardless, she's allowed to eat truma because if he's a Kohen, Rabbi Yossi says no problem. As long as her parents are gay, even though her parents are gayrim, she's still considered kosher l'kohona. A Gioris herself, not, but a bas gayrim, yes. And if we say that he's a Tzur Daka and therefore he's no longer a Kohen, then we would say that he's allowed to marry her, that he's allowed to marry a Gioris, because Rabbi Yossi holds Kahal Gerim Loi Ikri Kahal, they're not considered part of Kahal Hashem. So according to Rabbi Yossi, this Braisa and the Pasuk that it brings would be unnecessary. El Olav L'Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So obviously this Braisa must be according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, which is, we said that Rabbi Yochanan was asking a question according to him, Ushmaminov Kashrus Yitosfo, Baba Achwa, going to show, therefore, that kashrus has been added to her. So in other words, we're talking about that her mother was a born Jew, her father was a ger, and therefore kashrus has been added, that she is roi l'kohuna, but not kedusha to the extent of being called a kol. Therefore, she's able to marry a kohen tzedaka, and this would apply really even if she's a geirus herself, the fact that kashrus has been added to her by her geirus, and therefore now he is a tzedaka, is allowed to marry her, and once he's allowed to marry her, va'ochla, then she's allowed to eat shema. Shmamina, so that proves it. So that's the halacha in the end. The Kohen Tzedaka is allowed to marry a Gioris because he doesn't really have his Kedusha of Kohen anymore. And since, on the other hand, Kahal Gerim, Loi Ikri Kohol, they're not considered part of Kahal Hashem, therefore Tzedaka is allowed to marry her. So that's the answer. So he is allowed to marry her, and when he does, she can even eat Truma because it's a valid marriage. There's no Bia Psula involved. So that's the answer to Rabbi Yochanan's question. So Rabbi Oshia didn't know the answer, but now we have a braisa that spells out that the answer is yes. Okay, new discussion. The Gemara says, Itmar, Rav Omer Yesh Chupal Psulos. Rav says that when we're talking about the psulos of our Mishnah, for example, a Kohen Gadol with an almana, that there is that chupa is that chupa, even without having relations with her, is valid. It has an effect and castles her from eating truma debe nasha. Now, there are three different explanations what we mean over here by chuppah. Rashi himself just says that it means they brought her into the chuppah, v'loi ba'aleha, and he doesn't have relations with her. Tosfos understands Rashi to be meaning that, now like this, we know there's three ways in which you can do kiddushin, kesef, shtar, and bia. Now, at the beginning of Masechta Kiddushin, you have an opinion of Rav Huna over there who says that there's a fourth way, namely chuppah. When they go into Yichud, even if they don't have relations, then that itself, Rav Huna says, is enough to be a valid method of Kedushin. So now, Tosfos understands Rashi to be saying, this is the scenario we're talking about. He didn't do Kedushin Kesef Shtarubiyah. Instead, he did Kedushin Chopa, according to Rav Huna. So Rav is saying, nevertheless, that is effective, and that passes her from eating truma in the future, because again, it's kroiva to be a psula. It's bringing her closer to be a psula, because usually the next thing after chuppah is going to be bia, and the bia would be possible because she's an almana and he's a kohen gadol, and the same thing with the other cases. Tosfos then disagrees with Rashi on a number of grounds. One of them being the fact is the halacha is not like Rav Huna. Chuppah is not a valid method of kedushin. So what is the Gemara having a whole discussion over here? The almost this whole Amud is going to be according to an opinion where the halacha is not even like that. So for that and several other reasons, Tosfos gives a different explanation that we're talking about over here. That let's say that it's a continuation of the previous case about a Tzur Daka. Suppose that at the time of the Kedushin, he was still intact and everything was good. Then during the time of the Erusin, during that year of Erusin, he became a Ptsua Daka. Now the question is, will the chuppah that he's doing with her pass her from eating truma on the grounds that there's going to be mishtameres to be a psula, that the chuppah is going to be a preparation for be a psula, because at this point, he being a Ptsua Daka, then he's not supposed to be having relations with her. We're not talking about where she was a Giyotis like before. We're talking about where she's a regular Basi Surah, otherwise he wasn't Makadish, otherwise he shouldn't have been Makadish in the first place. So Tosfos says that's what we're talking about. Then there are Rishonim who learn in Rashi, the Ramban, the Rashba, other Rishonim learn in Rashi that no, we're talking about something else. We're not talking about chuppah instead of kiddushin. We're talking about the normal order is you do kiddushin, later on you do chuppah. Suppose that he did the other way around. Suppose he did the chuppah before the kiddushin. So not as a method of kiddushin, like Rav Huna would say, but rather he's doing it out of order. The question would be whether that chuppah, even though it's out of order, is enough to passel her from eating truma, again, because chuppah is closer to bia than kedushin will. So kedushin, we have in the Mishnah, we have a machloikas, whether she's going to be able to eat. But now we'd be talking about if he did chuppah ahead of kedushin, would that be enough, even according to the Elazar and Rav Shimon, to passel her from eating truma? So Rav says, yes, chuppah l'psulis. Rav says that chuppah is valid, is effective in making her a postal to eat truma, or Shmuel Amar ein chuppah l'psulis, and Shmuel says no. Amar Shmuel, so Shmuel says umoydeli Abba. Now Abba, which is Rav, does agree with me. Rashi says that he's calling him Abba as a respectful term, Meloshin Nesi v'Rebbe, because he's like my father, but he's my Rebbe. Tosfos says that actually, no, Rav's first name was Abba, so therefore Shmuel, as a colleague of Rav, is calling him that. Anyway, so Shmuel says that Rav agrees to me between Noikas Chosim about Shalosh Shana B'Yemechad, when the girl is less than 3 years and a day old, Hoyova Ein La Bia, since at that point Bia is not considered effective, such Bia is not considered Bia in any way. The guy we should probably clap him in jail for a long time, and if not worse, but La Halacha is not considered Bia until she's 3 years old. Therefore, Rav would agree, Ein La Chuppah, that therefore the Chuppah wouldn't pass al Harit. Omer Rava, Af Anan Nami Tanena, and Rava says, in fact, we learn a Mishnah to that effect, that even if you were to do bia with her below 3 years old, then it doesn't passel her. So therefore, certainly chuppah wouldn't passel her, because the whole point of chuppah is that it's krev l'bia. And because we learn in a Mishnah, in Nida, bas shalosh shanim yamecha miskadeshes b'bia, when a girl is 3 years old or older, then kiddushin with bia are effective, but below that not, because it's not considered bia. And therefore, if the Yavam has relations with her at that point, then he's koina her, because again, it's considered bia, below that age, then not. If she's married, then anybody else who has relations with her would be chayav. He could be a Yavam because he could be much older than her. So she was married, let's say 2 years old, to his brother. The brother died. He now did Yibum with her. So we're saying if he does it when she's two, nothing happens because that's not considered Bia. So they didn't have relations necessarily, but that doesn't matter. The point that Tosfos explained that we're talking about, that her father accepted Kedushin on her behalf, right, where the father has the ability to be Mekadesh on a Daraisa level. So therefore, so now she was married. She was at least an Arusa. Fine, they didn't do Nisuin yet, but she's at least an Arusa. Then he dies. Now the brother does Yibum with her. If she's below three, then the Yibum doesn't take effect. If she's three or more, then the Yibum takes effect. Doesn't matter that she doesn't have Das, because we learned at the beginning of the parak that it doesn't matter even if it's Baris. So v'chayovan elei mashum eishes ish. If somebody else has relations with her, then he's chayev because she's an eishes ish. Another din that kicks in when she's 3 years old, if she's a nida, and a girl can become nida at any age, even on the day she's born. So if while she's a nida, someone has relations with her, then he will become tamei as a boil nida, in the sense that mishkaf tachten ke'elyon, any mattresses or blankets or whatever that are underneath him that he lies on will be tame, like to the same degree as anything above a zav, meaning unlike the actual bedding of a nidah, which is an avatuma, his is only going to be a rishon l'truma and will only be matame food and drink, but not people. But the point is that if she's below three years old, then even though she's a nida, the bia with her is not considered bia, and therefore it's not matame him to that degree. It would be matame him only to the degree of somebody who touches a nida, where he himself is a rishon l'truma rather than an avatoma. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Nisus the koyan echelas b'truma. If a girl 3 years old marries a koyan, she's allowed to eat truma, because again, she's kinyan katzboi. And at that point, at that age and older, if any one of the psulim, a cholol, a nostin, mamzer, or if she's an almana and she's married to a kohen god or whatever, as long as they have relations, then it passels her from ever eating truma again. So the implication says Rava, Bas Shalashana Viamechod Mifsala Bia, Mifsala Bachova. So what are we seeing? Because when she's three, then Bia is enough to passel her, as the last thing said, then therefore Chuppah, according to Rav, would also be enough to passel her as far as eating truma. So therefore, if she's less than three, and therefore Bia is not, does not passel her, then neither does Chuppah. Shmamina, so that proves it. So we'll continue the discussion tomorrow about Bez Hashem, whether Chuppah Lepsulis or not. One interesting thing in this regard is, now when we have a Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, the Halacha usually is like Rav. So in terms of Chuppah Lepsulis, that would mean, in the particular case we're talking about over here, it would come out Lechumra, that therefore, in other words, she's not allowed to eat Truma. But you have an interesting point. What about the flip side of it? Suppose that she's posel for a different reason for Bia at the time, namely that she's a nida. So chuppas nida. Would chuppas nida be effective or not? According to Rav, we would have to say on the face of it, yes. Because so what, that she can't have relations at this point? Chuppah is still effective. On the other hand, according to Shmuel, not. The Rambam paskins that chuppas nida is not effective, and how that reconciles over here with yesh chuppah lepsulos is something that the Noisa Kalim deal with. The halacha is, though, that it is the halacha is that so many Rishonim say it's not kona for when we say, if we would say that it's not kona, we would say for certain purposes it's not kona. For example, we would say that at that point, when there was chuppah, as chuppas nidya, she doesn't get tosfas ksuba. If he promised her in the ksuba the basic amount, 100 or 200 zuz, plus some extra, then she doesn't get the extra because she's not roi l'viya yet. But everything else, that many Rishonim say, she would, in fact, the chuppas nidya would be effective in making her his wife for many other purposes, and that is the halacha. We try to avoid chuppas nidya when possible, partly in order to avoid this question of whether it makes her legally his wife or not. But nevertheless, if it happens, then we still say it is valid. We put a shomer to make sure they don't have relations. But other than that, we say that it's a valid chuppah. They don't have to redo it again after. They don't have to redo the chuppah again after she becomes tahor. So it's Nagel Amaisa, this question. Yeah. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Beth Hashem. Yeah.